Everyone enjoys a good conversation. Some are noisy and some are quiet. Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes that it is perhaps the silences that are the most important when we converse.
Our ability to speak language, writes essayist Lewis Thomas, unites us because it's something we all use together. Language binds, unites. It joins billions of us into a single creature, a social species. However, when some language succeeds in its task, some doesn't. I'm thinking of boorish people. We know some, and we hope we're not one of them. They can send bad vibes. I visited a childhood acquaintance some time ago. I had not seen him in 40 years. I looked forward to our sharing stories about our childhood. I stayed overnight, 18 hours overall. Except for when we slept, 10 of the 18 hours he talked nonstop about his life, his successes, his trips, while offering opinions exhaustively on every conceivable topic until I regretted ever attempting to reconnect. Language did nothing to unify us. On the other hand, I've heard women complain about husbands who don't talk to them about their thoughts and feelings. Men generally are more guarded that way. An apocryphal story has it that a group of women complained about husbands who were not conversational. A genie appeared to them, offering to grant wishes they desired. "Get our husbands talking more with us," they exclaimed unanimously. They got their wish, and in a week they wished they'd kept the genie in the bottle. I think satisfactory conversations are as much about silences as they are about talking, as in photographs and paintings, where empty space completes the image. As a young man, I underwent psychoanalysis. I talked the entire session. The analyst rarely said a word except to say that the time was up. I was okay with that because I knew what I was saying was being heard and taken seriously. Listening is an important thing, as is speaking is. In the case of my wife and me, I'm more extroverted. I rarely have a thought and feeling that I don't express it on the spot. She's more introverted and ponders thoughts and feelings at great length before verbalizing them. At times I grow impatient and lean on her to tell me what she thinks. If I failed to get her to tell me what she thinks, I might shrug shoulders and say, "Well, I've got things to do." "Good," she'll reply. Fortunately, we've struck a workable balance. We still like each other. Watermen on the shore love to talk with each other, but I don't know if that applies to their wives as well. You can hear them daily in high spirits, chatting with one another on the CBs of their workboats. Birds and animals use language, but it's not as nuanced as ours. What they have to say is confined primarily to basics: food, danger, mating, and alarm. Do you suppose birds sing because they're happy? I don't know this, but if that's the cause, mockingbirds are on uppers. Buddhist and Hindu practitioners articulate the mantra Om in meditation, as it signifies the deity and the beginning of creation. Om, when chanted, sounds more like a humming or a musical note than a word. Science has been entertaining the idea that the basic building blocks of our universe are not atoms, as we've thought, but an array of vibrations. It's refreshing to think that we humans were originally shaped by good vibes rather than made from mud pies, as Genesis suggests. Vibes make for more spirited communications, like combining words with music. George Merrill on the shore.